the earth had properly noted that she was just part of Krishna, like everything else within this world, not only within the world, within all existence. Mama Eko Angsa Sambhava. Everything rests upon Krishna, just a small portion of Krishna's potency. So the earth noted that, and we heard yesterday how in glorifying Krishna, she was explaining that ultimately his potency is behind everything. And therefore he is the cause of all causes. Mata parataram na anyat. Everything rests upon him as pearls are strung on a thread. So ultimately she was acknowledging that her own position, her own potency was dependent upon Krishna. Or said in another way, her potency and every potency within this world is actually Krishna's potency. And therefore, no one in this world should be proud. Everyone should be humble. Because if what we are doing or what we have is resting upon Krishna, and it is Krishna's mercy, Krishna's gift, it is his potency, then what in this world do we have to be proud of? So the earth, she had been tamed. She in the form of a cow had been tamed by Prithu Maharaj. Previously, she was a cow, continuing the example. She was a cow, but she had a bad master. She was being exploited by her master. And that master was King Vena. So for time, for so much time, Vena just simply exploited her. And the thieves and rogues, they were also exploiting all the grains that were meant for sacrifice, because this is the actual purpose of everything within existence. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Varagya Ujjit. Everything is meant as it is Krishna's. Everything we should deal with in a detached fashion and use everything in Krishna's service. So Vena, the biggest of the rogues, was exploiting everything, and the thieves of smaller variety were doing the same. So the earth therefore withheld all the grains within her. She was like a cow, again, who had an exploitive master, an exploiting master, and she became bad, independent, unruly. But then, when pressed by Prithu Maharaj, when she understood, practically speaking, she had no alternative, then she came to her proper senses and explained what her mentality was, why she had been withholding the grains. Her reasons were good on one level, because she didn't want that which she was producing to be exploited. But on another level, when confronted with the incarnation of the Lord, it took her some time before she realized her position and that she had to become tame again. And that this was no exploiting Vena. This was Prithu Maharaj, the Adiraj, who was carrying the potencies of the Lord. And then she became submissive again. Now, we had heard more or less a preview of the verses that we're going to read today. And Krishna willing, we shall cover the entire chapter, which has some very interesting points within it. But we'll read the verses and then we'll read parts of Prabhupada's purports. And we did read this yesterday. Maitreya Muni continued to address Vidura. My dear Vidura, at that time, after the planet Earth finished her prayers, King Prithu was not pacified. She had said so many, she made so many presentations. Why was he trying to kill her? And he, fixed in his duty as Adiraj, wanted some practical result from her. Not words, but practical result. He wanted the citizens fed with the grains that she was withholding. So Prithu Maharaj was still not pacified, and his lips trembled in great anger. When was the last time you became so angry that your lips trembled? Maybe it was too recent, I don't know. But how angry do you have to become where you're so infused that your body is losing its control and the lips are trembling and maybe your hands are trembling? So Prithu Maharaj was that angry. We may say anger is produced of which mode of material nature? Well, we can say passion because from kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samud bhava. But actually it's ignorance. It's such a dense, thick covering over the consciousness, such a restricting. It comes from an attachment or a bewilderment born of passion. But the covering is more intense than passion, ignorance. So trembling and anger, his anger was not at all touched by ignorance. It was Krishna's potency to make the earth understand what she had to do. And she understood it quite quickly as she began to explain the cause of her becoming unruly and withholding the grains. Please pacify your anger, she said, with a bow and arrow in his hands. Within Prithu Maharaj's hands, she was speaking very submissively and very sincerely. And hear patiently whatever I submit before you. Please turn your kind attention to this. I may be very poor. I may have acted improperly. But a learned man takes the essence of knowledge from all places, just as a bumblebee collects honey from each and every flower. I may be poor in my understanding, but I do have some understanding. And that little understanding may be useful, so please collect it. Now she explains why, the background of why she had withheld the grains. And it has to do with the proper process of living within this world according to the guidance of Shastra and the great sages. To benefit all human society, not only in this life, but in the next. Because what happens in this world? People want their happiness, but they don't consider the next life and they don't consider the instructions of the sages. And what mode of material nature are the desires born of? Passion. And passion, if one indulges in passion without guidance, the result is ignorance, which is a deeper covering. So without taking instruction from those in knowledge, people who make the attempt to satisfy their desires by their whim, by their own plans, are in passion. And the result of that is very, very deep ignorance. And this is the current situation of the world. Passion very quickly degrading into deep ignorance. Because people have given up as old-fashioned the methodologies, either traditional or shastric or based on the wise persons of the culture in previous times. These are old fashioned. Those people didn't even know how to download a computer. I mean, how primitive they were. What can we learn from them? Really, the young people think like that when they see their parents not knowing how to deal on the internet. They tend to think, what do they know of value? They tend to minimize. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. The sages weren't theoreticians. The Shastra is practical. It tells how to live in this world in such a way that one's desires, and everyone in this world has desires, are sublimated upward to goodness, regulated and turned into goodness, passion turned into goodness, very much as the Bhagavad Gita explains, by offering the fruit of one's work to the Lord. And that is called sacrifice. And thereby, by that detachment is born from passion, goodness will be born. What to speak of devotion? Instead of being degenerated into ignorance, the passion is sublimated into and rarefied and purified into goodness. So if one uses these technologies, these methodologies, such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. Enjoy life in this world. And additionally, be purified. So that's on one side. Here are the Shastric regulations propounded by the sages. Here are the people who follow them. They go upward. But text 4 explains, one who follows the principles, instructions enjoined by the great sages, text 5, a foolish person, someone who rejects these traditional authoritative means, who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation. For instance, for years and years and centuries, people had a self-sustaining sense of agriculture, and things were returned to the earth. It was dependent on, it was sane, it was moderated. The use of cows and bulls returned to the earth so much nutrient. The people were very frugal. It describes, I once read a book called Farmers of 50 Centuries. It's about the old Chinese culture and how the people, when they would wash, when they would take water and wash their houses, they would take the dirt or whatever comes from that, and they would put it in their gardens. Everything was very, very practical. Nothing was wasted. The cups were clay. They were used, put back into the earth. Very simple, but very wonderful. But instead, people think we have a better way nowadays. Instead of using this system of fertilizing, we will create fertilizers out of what? Out of petrochemicals. And we will, instead of using the cow and the bull in this way, we'll take the natural system is the cow eats grass that we don't eat and turns it into milk, which we drink, and it is so nutritious. And the cow produces more milk that her calf can drink. So the humans, they take this and they keep this, the milk, and they turn it into ghee and different kinds of cheeses, and it becomes their wealth. The land the cows, the bulls, this is their wealth, the grains. So instead of using this system, instead of using sacrifices to bring thee naturally by the pleasure of the demigods and the Lord, bring rains and the earth becomes fruitful, instead of doing that, we'll make up our own system and we'll squeeze the produce out of the earth. And we'll cut up the bulls and the cows and use their bones and blood as fertilizer. Instead of drinking the milk, we'll drink the blood of the cow. We'll have our own system. But instead of it actually working, in time, the produce is big. I remember years ago when I was in Japan, we'd see these apples for for hundreds of dollars, they'd be this big. And we asked people, what do they taste like? They said, potatoes. What is the use of with some genetic modification which no one knows the result that's going to occur on the bodies of the people? We'll take out the cell, the center of the cell, and we'll put in something else in there. We have a better way to do everything. But the apples taste like potatoes. The fertile earth becomes like a desert. We have a better way to produce milk. We'll pump the cows full of chemicals, and that milk that they produce will be in such a quantity, but it will be practically poisonous. But we have a better way for everything by the use of our fertile brains. We won't follow anything traditional. In this way, people become short of life, so unhealthy, so weak-minded, so full of anxiety, so unhealthy, so the immune systems can't fight off the diseases, and yet so proud, so poverty-stricken, and so proud that yes, we are making progress. Why be primitive this way? And Prabhupada would point to the before and look at the results on the families. Terrible. The children naturally, the girls would work with their mothers, and just there's something subtle that's passed between the parent and the children when they're spending time together in this way. And the children would grow up so mentally secure and strong-minded that the boys would work with their fathers. You see this in Vrindavan, still to this day, where the boys, they get a little bit of schooling, then they sit in their father's shop and they just sort of grow into being their father. It's one of the most amazing things. They just learn how to just sit there. No anxiety about their future. Not when they're 30 years old or 40 years old. Even 50 years old, they're trying to figure out what they're going to be when they grow up. But instead, we have a better way. The children, yes. And the families just breaking apart. Everyone's so mentally unstable. I saw some report that in the United Kingdom, England, 40% of the children in the elementary schools have mental diseases that should be treated. An incredibly high percentage. And they give them these chemicals now, the children, to cure them of the depressions and the depression in elementary school. And then a newspaper article comes out and says, oh, after prescribing these killing chemicals that destroy your mind for so many years, then they put out an article saying that, oh, actually now we understand these things aren't actually good for you, and there are negative effects on it. It's a soul-killing civilization. It's a mind-killing civilization. It's a body-killing civilization. And Prabhupada therefore spoke so strongly. Sometimes he speaks so strongly that it frightens me. So strong. He's so condemning. He condemns it across the board. What the children are exposed to through television, movies, videos, and the internet at young ages, what chance do they have? No chance for a pure life. So Prabhupada was very strong in condemning it. We'll read Prabhupada's purport to... I'll read half of his purport to 4, text 4. In democratic government at the present moment, all kinds of fools and rascals are making decisions. Those, especially the word rascal, Prabhupada was especially fond of. He liked that word rascal. So he called so many people rascals. The scientists are rascals. The politicians are rascals. So this one's a rascal. Sometimes I think, is everyone a rascal? But when you think about it, practically speaking, everyone is. They have pubs and bars in the assembly houses where the legislators meet to pass the laws. They're drinking as they're voting. They can't even be sober at work. And then what is their work? To make the laws that govern the rest of the society. Is that not a rascal? And a fool? So they are making decisions, all kinds of fools and rascals. So there's not only one kind, there's all kinds of different varieties. But what can they do? What is the result of their legislation? They enact something today just to whimsically repeal it tomorrow. One political party utilizes a country for one purpose, and the next moment another political party forms a different type of government and nullifies all the laws and regulations. This process of chewing the chewed. What does Prabhupada mean when he says that they're engaged in chewing the chewed? What does he mean? Think. Purnas purna charvita charvananam. What does he mean, chewing the chew? And yes. And what's the same mistake? The process of chewing the chew will never make human society happy. That means, specifically, what you all said, but also, it's all directed towards a materialistic life of happiness, and it's based on their whimsical mental speculations, and it avoids the Shastra, the sages of the past. So therefore, Prabhupada concludes, we should accept the standard methods given by liberated person. In other words, this mental speculative process, either as a group or individually to try to become happy, it simply doesn't work. It's chewing the chewed. Trying to get happiness where it simply doesn't exist. How deeply do we accept this? How deeply do we accept that no matter how we twist and turn and combine and break apart the material world, that it cannot award us happiness? At the time of death, it will be clear to us that our life, if it was engaged in finding, trying to chew that which has no sweetness in it, at that time, it will become clear to us that there is no shelter in the material world. But if one has some intelligence, hears Shastra, and follows the sages, we will learn and act on a different principle very quickly, as soon as we hear and understand. We should accept the standard methods given by liberated persons. It's very difficult for those born in Kali Yuga, just like it was difficult for the Bhumi in the shape of a once having been exploited by the kings. It's very difficult to go back to surrendering to a king. We become naughty and untamed. Kali Yuga does that to everyone. Makes everyone naughty and untamed and rebellious. Why should I listen to anyone? So we have to be able to answer that question for ourselves. Because at the time of death, whatever we've done in this life will be tested. And we'll either see what we've done as worth zero, nothing. And if that is the case, we will be filled with terror. We will be terrorized. Or perhaps, if we are sincere, we will have completed life's mission and developed our love for Krishna. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. Purport. At the present moment, it has become fashionable to disobey the unimpeachable directions given by the acharyas and liberated souls of the past. Presently, people are so fallen they cannot distinguish between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is hampered by four defects. He is sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to become illusioned. He has a tendency to cheat others and his senses are imperfect. Consequently, we have to take direction from liberated persons. This Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead via persons who are strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of the material nature. Lord Chaitanya therefore says, by my order, you may become a spiritual master. Amara agyai, by my order, guru hai tare desh. And preach. And deliver the land. One can immediately become a spiritual master by having full faith in the transcendental words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by following his instructions. Materialistic men are not interested in taking directions from a liberated person, but they are very much interested in their own concocted ideas, which make them repeatedly fail in their attempts. Again and again and again, repeatedly. Because the entire world is now following the imperfect directions of conditioned souls, humanity is completely bewildered. There is no clear indication for most 99% of the people that there is a purpose of life. And therefore people waste their life. They find out there's such an incredibly huge industry that's dedicated to wasting time. Not one industry, but many. What are some of them? Movies, music, internet, sports,
toys,
games,
traveling.
Yeah. Theater, space tourism, it's a new one. Just Prabhupada, he mentioned this one time on a walk, he said, we are working our whole life to get people to use their time properly. And they are working their whole life how to waste time. Thinking, inventing, clubs, discos, inventing newer and newer and more sophisticated ways simply to waste one's valuable human life. So what a challenge we have if we are to take Prabhupada's mood seriously, and he certainly wanted us to wake up the people, to be awake ourselves and not waste time, and help others, help awaken others. So people have neglected, the earth is explaining, the old ways of gaining prosperity. And my dear king, the seeds, roots, herbs, and grains which were created by Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. And therefore, not only are the grains and herbs being used by non-devotees, but as far as I am concerned, the earth says, I am not being properly maintained. Indeed, I'm being neglected by kings, like Vena, your father, who are not punishing these rascals who have turned into thieves, and by using grains for sense gratification. Indeed, everything that I produce by the potency of the Lord is being misused for sense gratification. Like the person who came to see Prabhupada, who was manufacturing glass, and he presented that to Prabhupada. I manufacture glass. And where does the glass come from? From sand. So you are manufacturing the sand? No. That means you are stealing from Krishna. But I give donations. Oh, you're an honest thief. Honest thief. And there was another time where Prabhupada was even heavier. He wasn't speaking to the person directly, but he was walking in Dallas. There's a lake called White Rock Lake. And one of the most wealthy persons in the United States, an oil magnate, Getty, he had a big house on the shore of the lake. And one of the devotees said, we were trying to go and see him, Prabhupada, to preach to him and talk to him. But they wouldn't let us. So the devotees in their simplicity were trying to do things like that. So Prabhupada said, what would you have said if you actually got to see him? And the devotee replied, we would have told him about your movement and about your books and we're doing good and to please help us because you're so wealthy. And Prabhupada said, no. If you would have gotten to see him, you should have said, you are stealing oil from the earth, you are stealing from God, and because you're a thief and keeping all the profit for yourself, you're going to be punished and you're going to go to hell. And then Prabhupada said, you have to know how to talk to these kind of people. But I can assure you, when Prabhupada said that, no one laughed. Because Prabhupada's perspective was very different. And he was fearless. Abhay, Charan. He was fearless and his perspective was different. We are, not we, but caught by that material energy. Forced into seeing in a particular way, limited by what we see. But Prabhupada wasn't, he really wasn't like that. So I am, consequently, I've hidden all these seeds which were meant for the performance of sacrifice. Yo bunte stena evasa. That everyone trying to enjoy the material energy is a thief and liable to be punished. And therefore the earth was holding back, she said. Due to being stuck for a very long time, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take these seeds out by the standard process, which is recommended by the acharyas or shastra. Prabhupada says in his purport about half of, about two-thirds of the way down in the purport to six, he says, the whole Vedic plan is that the misguided conditioned souls who have come to lord it over material nature should be trained to be dhritavrata. This means they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. Activities intended to satisfy the senses of the Lord Krishna are called Krishnarte Akhila Chaistitaha. This indicates that one can attempt all kinds of work, but one should do so to satisfy Krishna. That means no more false ego. Krishna is again in the center. And no more false ego means no more material birth after birth after birth. The word yajna indicates Lord Vishnu, we should work only for his satisfaction. In modern times, Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten Vishnu altogether, and they conduct their activities for sense gratification. Such people will gradually become poverty-stricken, and indeed it's happening. The amount of people who are poverty-stricken are increasing and increasing. The people, amount of people who are in debt, even in the most industrialized countries, are increasing and increasing. And the government, they have this peculiar thing called the Consumer Confidence Index now in the West, which means that people should just spend and spend and spend no matter how much money they have, basically, having confidence that the economy will make them prosper. And that's how they judge how well an economy is doing, one of the factors. And it's just consuming and spending and spending and spending. No matter whether you can afford it or not, spend and buy and shop and buy more and go into debt and work your whole life to pay off your debts and pay huge percentages of interest and be in greater debt and greater debt and mother work and child and husband work and father work and debt and debt. And yet, no one will accept we're becoming more poverty stricken. This is illusion. They cannot use things which are to be enjoyed by the Supreme for their own sense gratification. If they continue like this, and this will be the result, there will be ultimately be a state of poverty. A complete state of poverty and no grains. fruits or flowers will be produced. Indeed, it is stated in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam that at the end of Kali Yuga, people will be so polluted, there will be no longer be any grains, wheat, sugar cane, or milk. It will be very heavy. Don't stay around. Prabhupada's purport to 8. When there is a scarcity of grain, the government should follow the methods prescribed in the Shastra and approved by the Acharyas. Thus there will be a sufficient production of grains, and food scarcity and famine can be checked. Bhagavad Gita recommends that we perform yajna sacrifices. By the performance of yajna, sufficient clouds gather in the sky, and when there are sufficient clouds, there is also sufficient rainfall. In this way, agricultural matters are taken care of. As Prabhupada used to say, you cannot produce grains in your factories. You can produce nuts and bolts, but you cannot eat them. You have to depend on God for rain. Even if you want to eat animals, you still have to depend on God for rain to feed the animals. There is no avoiding dependence upon Him. When there is sufficient grain production, the general populace eats the grains, and animals like cows, goats, and other domestic animals eat the grasses and grains also. According to this arrangement, human beings should perform the sacrifices recommended in the Shastras, and if they do so, there will no longer be food scarcity. In Kali Yuga, the only sacrifice recommended is Sankirtan Yajna. In this verse, there are two significant words, yogena, by the approved method, and dristena, as exemplified by the former acharyas. One is mistaken if he thinks that by applying modern machines such as tractors, grains can be produced. If one goes to a desert and uses a tractor, there is still no possibility of producing grains. We may adopt various means, but it is essential to know that the planet Earth will stop producing grains if sacrifices are not performed, and if we try to squeeze the grains from the earth using petrochemical fertilizers, the entire earth will become and is becoming more and more infertile. And the earth is not producing. The earth has already explained that because non-devotees are enjoying the production of food, she has reserved food seeds for the performance of sacrifice. Now, of course, atheists will not believe in this spiritual method of producing grains. But whether they believe or not, the fact remains that we are not independent to produce grains by mechanical means. We are dependent. As far as the approved method is concerned, it is enjoined in the Shastra that intelligent men in this age will take to the Sankirtan movement. What verse is this? And by so doing, they shall worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, whose bodily complexion is golden, Tvisha Krishna, who is always accompanied by his confidential devotees, Sangha Upasthana, his confidential devotees to preach this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. In its present condition, the world can only be saved by introducing this Sankirtan, this Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada is equating the Krishna consciousness movement with Sankirtan. If there is no Sankirtan, which means both chanting and spreading the chanting, and Prabhupada included the book distribution, there is no Krishna consciousness movement. The institution becomes rubbish without preaching, Prabhupada said. As we have learned from the previous verse, one who is not in Krishna consciousness is considered a thief, even though he may be materially very advanced. A thief cannot be placed in a comfortable position. A thief is a thief and he is punishable. Because people are without Krishna consciousness, they have become thieves, and consequently they are being punished by the laws of material nature. No one can check this, not even by introducing so many relief funds and humanitarian institutions. Unless the people of the world take to Krishna consciousness, there will be a scarcity of food and much suffering. O great hero, protector of living entities. What's one of the biggest problems nowadays is the climate changes produced very much by the fertile brains of the mental speculators, causing so many problems. But yet, if you ask people to live on a simple farm where they can be healthy and produce their own food and live in a wholesome way, do people want to do it? Even the devotee. Prabhupada was once asked, what will be the preaching of people who live in this way? Of the devotees who live in the rural communities. The devotee who was asking was somewhat fanatical, thinking that the only kind of preaching was book distribution. And Prabhupada replied, their living will be their preaching. And another time, I personally heard one devotee trying to criticize another devotee, saying, what about those devotees who are not interested in book distribution and are interested in farms, meaning the rural communities? And Prabhupada replied, do you think that the spiritual master is a dull stone who cannot instruct different disciples in different ways? He was trying to actually push Prabhupada to criticize. Very dear project, and unfortunately very difficult to do, and so far we have some places more successful than others, but as a whole we have failed to carry out this important order of progress. One of the reasons is because you can't be in the mode of passion and do it. Because you can't get the results quickly. And the devotees are used to being brought up in the cities and in Kali Yuga, are used to getting quick results, passionate results, and used to their passion bringing quick fruit. But it doesn't work like that. You have to depend on Krishna. Oh, great hero. It is difficult, yes? Protector of living entities. If you desire to relieve the living entities by supplying them sufficient grain, and if you desire to nourish them by taking milk from me, you should make arrangements to bring a calf suitable for this purpose, because she was in the form of a cow, Bhumi, and a pot in which the milk can be kept, as well as a milkman to do the work. Since I will be very much affectionate towards my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled. So Prabhupada's purport continues criticizing. And the methodology that's being explained here is, since the earth is in the form of a cow, we need a calf, because the cow is so motherly and affectionate. And you see them in India, not only India, but especially in India, how the cows lick. They sit there and they lick the calves. They lick them and lick them out of affection. And instead, we can't even talk about the system that is used in the dairies of the world. What they do, they take away the calf, breaking the mother's heart. And then we can't talk anymore about what happens next. The natural system is the calf is there. The cow, out of affection, drops her milk. Then the calf drinks some, and then the rest is taken out. Instead, they have these hook up these machines. They take the calf away, and they squeeze and squeeze, pump the cow full of chemicals, antibiotics, enzymes, poisons of all varieties. This is Kali Yuga, and it will get worse. So Prabhupada is explaining in that purport the system. The ungodly human beings, this is from Prabhupada's purport to 10, ignorant of his duty to give protection and food to the animals, kills them to compensate for the insufficient production of grain. Thus no one is satisfied, and that is the cause for the present condition in today's world. My dear King, may I inform you that you will have to make the entire surface of the globe level. This will help me, even when the rainy season has ceased. Rainfall comes by the mercy of King Indra. Rainfall will remain on the surface of the globe, always keeping the earth moistened, and thus it will be auspicious for all kinds of production. After hearing the auspicious and pleasing words of the planet Earth, the king accepted them. He gave up his anger. He then transformed Swayambhuva Manu into a calf and milked all the herbs and grains from the earth. So he himself milked the herbs and grains from the earth in the form of a cow, keeping them in his own cupped hands as the milk pot. So that part of this pastime is now completed. There is so much to be said, and I've spoken perhaps a little too much about the horrors of contemporary so-called civilization. Now the topic shifts. Once the system was understood, how to get one's desires from the earth. Prithumaraj, his desires was to perform his duty to get the grains to feed the citizens. But there were other living entities who also had desires. So something very interesting is going to go on here. And it is parallel to, because the earth is empowered by Krishna. Previously we heard the earth saying this point, that every living entity who is able to do anything is gaining power to do that from Krishna. So the earth is getting this power from Krishna. And we'll see, Prithumaraj had a desire as the king to feed his citizens. But each different living entity has desires. We cannot avoid desires. If we want to stop desiring, we have to die. And up to the point where we die, we'll be desiring to die. Because of the nature of the soul, he has desires. And the earth is able to fulfill all the desires that we're going to hear, that different living entities possess by the power of Krishna. Because he is the source, as we heard, of the ability, of all the different abilities. So therefore, Krishna, this is a conclusion that we should consider, that Krishna is the ultimate one who fulfills everyone's desires. Yeyitam mam prapadyante tamsta taiva vidhi. And therefore, we should consider what we desire from Krishna. We should consider that very carefully, what we actually desire from Krishna. Or what we actually desire, because it will be Krishna who fulfills that desire. And based on our desire, we will attain different fruit, just as the different groups of living entities we will hear now gain so many different items from the earth. Others, text 13, who were as intelligent as King Prithu, also took the essence out of the earth planet. Indeed, everyone took this opportunity to follow in the footsteps of King Prithu and get whatever he desired from the planet earth. All the great sages transformed Brihaspati into a calf. This is the desire of the great sages. And making the senses into a pot, they milked all kinds of Vedic knowledge to purify words, mind, and hearing. They wanted Vedic knowledge and purity. Oh, I really wanted to read Prabhupada's purports here, but perhaps right as, when I finish, we can do that. All the demigods, here was the demigods and their desires. They made Indra, the king of heaven, into a calf. And from the earth they milked the beverage soma, which is nectar. Thus they became very powerful in mental strength and bodily and sensual strength. The sages had one desire, the demigods had another. The daityas, the demons, had another desire. The sons of Diti and the demons transformed Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in an asura family, into a calf. And they extracted various kinds of liquor and beer, which they put into a pot made of iron. They had their own desires. The inhabitants of Vrindava Loka and Apsara Loka made Vishvavasu into a calf. And they drew the milk into a lotus flower pot. The milk took the shape of sweet musical art and beauty. The fortunate inhabitants of Pitraloka, who preside over the funeral ceremonies, made Ariyama into a calf. With great faith, they milked Kavya, food offered to the ancestors, into an unbaked earthen pot. After this, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, as well as the inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka, transformed the great sage Kapila into a calf, and making the whole sky into a pot, they milked out specific yogic mystic powers, beginning with anima. Indeed, the inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka acquired the art of flying in the sky. There are unlimited realms in which we can desire within. What do we desire? Others also, the inhabitants of planets known as Kimpurusha Loka, made the demon Maya into a calf, and they milked out mystic powers by which one can disappear immediately from another's vision and appear again in a different form. Then the yakshas, rakshas, ghosts, and witches who are habituated to eating flesh transformed Lord Shiva's incarnation, Rudra Bhutanath, into a calf and milked out beverages made of blood and put them in a pot made of skulls. So it's interesting how some desires that others have are repulsive to us and others are quite attractive. That one, not very attractive. Thereafter, cobras and snakes without hoods, large snakes, scorpions, and other poisonous animals took poison out of the planet Earth as their milk. The Earth produces poison too. And kept this poison in snake holes. They made a calf out of Takshaka. Who is Takshaka? He's the one who is going to... He's the instrumental cause of Parikshit Maharaj's departure from this world. Prabhupada, we'll read from Prabhupada's purport to 22, which makes the point clear. The point is that everyone is taking his eatables from the planet Earth, that which sustains us, according to one's association with the material qualities one develops a certain type of character. Paya panam bhujanganam. Thus the Lord is supplying everyone food, but according to a living entity's association with the modes of material nature, the living entity develops a specific character. Association. And therefore Mahaprabhu said, sadhu-sangha, sadhu-sangha. The four-legged animals, like the cows, made a calf out of the bull who carries Lord Shiva. What is the name of that bull? And made a milking pot out of the forest. Thus they got green grasses to eat. Ferocious animals, like tigers, transformed the lion into a calf, and thus they were able to get flesh for milk. The birds made a calf out of Garuda and took milk from the planet Earth in the form of moving insects and non-moving plants and grasses. The trees made a calf of the banyan tree, and thus they derived milk in the form of many delicious juices. The mountains transformed the Himalayas into a calf, and they milked a variety of minerals into a pot made out of the peaks of hills. The planet Earth supplied everyone his respective food. During the time of King Prithu, the Earth was fully under the control of the king. He had controlled, tamed the king. The king had tamed her, and she was supplying everything that everyone desired. Thus all the inhabitants of Earth could get their food supply by creating various types of calves and putting their particular type of milk in various pots. My dear Vidura, chief of the Kurus, in this way, King Prithu and all the others who subsist on food create different types of calves and milked out their respective eatables. Thus, they received their various foodstuffs, which was symbolized as milk. Thereafter, King Prithu was very satisfied with the planet Earth, and she sufficiently supplied all food to various living entities. Thus, he developed an affection for the planet Earth, just as if she were his own daughter. So his mood changed, and he gave her so much affection. Premna duhitri vatsala. Out of affection for the planet Earth, he considered her his daughter. After this, the king of all kings, Maharaj Prithu, leveled all the rough places on the surface of the globe by breaking up the hills with the strength of his bow. By his grace, the surface of the globe almost became flat. To all the citizens of the state, King Prithu was as good as a father. Thus he was visibly engaged in giving them proper subsistence and proper employment for subsistence. After leveling the surface of the globe, he earmarked different places for residential quarters, inasmuch as they were desirable. In this way, the king founded many types of villages, settlements, and towns, and built forts, residences for cowherdsmen, stables for the animals, and places for the royal camps, mining places, agricultural towns, and mountain villages. Before the reign of King Prithu, there was no planned arrangement for different cities, villages, pasturing grounds, etc. Everything was scattered, and everyone constructed his residential quarters according to his own convenience. However, since King Prithu, plans were made for towns and villages. So town planning was in existence. I wanted to read something from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam that describes more about Kali Yuga and the cure. Please listen carefully. This is from the third chapter, beginning with text 30. After describing Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga and Satya Yuga. Who is speaking here? Does anyone know? Is it Maitreya? Who? Who is Sukadev speaking to them? Huh? Is he, when does Prickett rise? He passes away a little later. Okay. When there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth. What does sloth mean? Laziness. Sleepiness. Violence. Depression. Lamentation. Bewilderment. Fear. And poverty. That age is Kali. The age of the mode of ignorance. Because of the bad qualities of the age of Kali, human beings will become short-sighted, unfortunate. In what sense short-sighted? Does that mean they all have to wear glasses, which also seems to be happening? Or they can't envision anything other than their immediate sense gratification. Immediate gratification. Even duty is finished. They will become short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful, and poverty-stricken. The women, becoming unchaste, will freely wander from one man to the next. Cities will be dominated by thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by speculative interpretations of atheists. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens, and the so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. The brahmacharis will fail to execute their vows, and they will become generally unclean. The householders will become beggars. The vanaprastas will live in the villages, and the sannyasis will become greedy for wealth. Women will become much smaller in size, and they will eat too much, have more children than they can properly take care of, and they will lose all their shyness. They will always speak harshly and will exhibit qualities of thievery, deceit, and unrestrained audacity. Businessmen will engage in petty commerce and earn their money by cheating. Even when there is no emergency, people will consider any degraded occupation quite acceptable. Servants will abandon a master who has lost his wealth, even if that master is a saintly person of exemplary character. Masters will abandon an incapacitated servant, even if that servant has been in the family for generations. Cows will be abandoned or killed when they stop giving milk. In Kali Yuga, men will be wretched and controlled by women. They will reject their fathers, brothers, other relatives and friends, and will instead associate with the sisters and brothers of their wives. Thus, their conception of friendship will be based exclusively on sexual ties. Uncultured men will accept charity on behalf of the Lord, and they will earn their livelihood by making a show of austerity and wearing a mendicant's dress. Those who know nothing about religion will mount a high seat and presume to speak on religious principles. In the age of Kali, people's minds will be always agitated. They will become emaciated by famine and taxation, my dear king, and they will always be disturbed by fear of drought. They will lack adequate clothing, food, and drink. They will be unable to properly rest, have sex, or bathe themselves. They will have no ornaments to decorate their bodies. In fact, the people of Kali Yuga will gradually come to appear like ghostly, haunted creatures. If you go to the downtown of any big city in the world today, you will see this. In Kali Yuga, men will develop hatred for each other, even over a few coins. Giving up friendly relations, they will be ready to lose their own lives and kill even their own relatives. Men will no longer protect their elderly parents, their children, or their respectable wives. Thoroughly degraded, they will care only to satisfy their bellies and genitals. O King, in the age of Kali, people's intelligence will be diverted by atheism. And they will almost never offer sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master of the universe. Although the great personalities who control the three worlds all bow down to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the petty and miserable human beings of this age will not do so. Terrified, about to die, a man collapses on his bed. Although his voice is faltering and he is hardly conscious of what he's saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reactions of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. But still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. In the Kali Yuga, objects, places, and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his mind. If a person hears about, glorifies, meditates upon, worships, or simply offers great respect to the Supreme Lord who is situated within the heart, the Lord will remove from his mind the contamination accumulated during many thousands of lifetimes. Just as fire applied to gold removes any discoloration caused by traces of other metals, Lord Vishnu within the heart purifies the minds of the yogis. By once engaging in the process of demigod worship, austerity, breath control, compassion, bathing in holy places, strict vows, charity, and chanting of various mantras, one's mind cannot attain the same absolute purification as that achieved when the unlimited personality of Godhead appears within one's heart. Therefore, O King, endeavor with all your might to fix the Supreme Lord Keshava within your heart. Maintain this concentration upon the Lord, and at the time of death you will certainly attain the supreme destination. My dear King, the Personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller. He is the supreme soul and the supreme shelter of all beings. When meditated upon by those about to die, he reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity. My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom, Mukta Sangha Parambrajet. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kalo Tad Dhari Kirtanat. Thus end the third chapter of the 12th canto. So out of the bad news comes some very good news. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki jai. In 18.
There's a description of the process of Chinda here and how it's being for deliverance of our fathers.
Okay, just wait till I get there. Yes.
So I was thinking about one verse in Bhagavad Gita that says that Kaliyuga five things are prohibited. Out of them, one is offering up meat to the forefathers. So my question is, if this is the process for delivering them, what's the meaning of offering meat to the forefathers?
This is the process, meaning Which is the process?
Describing the purpose to offer the food called Vishnu and then offer the remnants to the four causes.
And my understanding is that not everyone follows the Vishnu methodologies. That's my understanding. So we have a Shastric Sattvagun based on the Sattvagun Shastras. The methodologies that we follow are based on that. But there are different people who in different places follow different methodologies of trying to satisfy the forefathers, like Haranyakashipu. He wanted to offer, or he and who was it also? Agasura. He wanted to offer different types of the blood of the residents of Vrindavan. And Haranyakashipu wanted to offer Vishnu's blood to propitiate the spirit of his brother Hiranyaksha. So it seems like everyone doesn't follow the Sattvika Puranas and Shastras. Now what their methodologies are, I can't say, but it seems by that there were other methodologies other than the one followed in Gaya, where the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu were worshipped. But I don't know any details in that, but there are many tamasic Puranas where, and tamasic tantras, tantric methodologies, which from our point of view are abominable. But I don't really know any details, and perhaps you'd like some details to answer. Question. Does anyone have any? Do you know more about that?
Not really.
But that mood was there in the Asuras. And even in the Mahabharata, there's some different sacrifices that are described that are very wild. That there was one king who performed the sacrifice. He had one son, and he was in anxiety about his son. So his priest was his friend, and the priest told him about a sacrifice by which he could have many sons. But having one was an anxiety because he could lose that one. So they offered that one son in sacrifice. And by the burning of the flesh, that fragrance, there was something occurred by that. I can't remember the details. So there are many, 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 from our point of view, very wild sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. And very powerful ones.
I remember in Mahabharata there was one story about some group of brahmanas offering animal sacrifices, and then they prefer those animals made out of wheat, cabbage, and vegetables and grains.
A head of lettuce, a head of cabbage.
Something like that. So it would seem then that those animal sacrifices were
Yes.
In this
mentioned that for this Kali Yuga method of sacrifice, the recommended method of sacrifice is Sankirtana. Also, we know that the sacrifice is the food of the demigods. That's what they eat. It's their nourishment. So I'm wondering, how are they eating the Hare Krishna mantra for 1,000 years of their time? For 1,200 years? How are they nourished?
Other than... They must also have some other forms of nourishment. Because if they were only eating grains and ghee, I mean, their standard wouldn't be as high as ours. We'll also get some sabji and this and that. They must have other forms of nourishment. Because that's all they... just ghee. I don't know anything about that.
Why are we pleased
by the Sankirtan Jagya? Because Krishna is pleased. Because ultimately the sacrifice, even though offered to the demigods, even the Homa, the Yajna, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the first beneficiary of it. He is offered first. And everyone else is subsidiary, subservient to his offering. So when he's pleased, they're pleased. Naturally, when the roots of the tree are nourished, when the stomach is nourished, then naturally that nourishment spreads. In Jagannath Puri, that's the only place that I know of where the demigods are offered the Mahaprasadam of the Lord, of Lord Jagannath.
Lingaraj.
In where?
Lingaraj temple.
Lingaraj, where? Yeah, it's hard to understand exactly how the nourishment goes to them. The ghee goes up, the smoke goes up to the heavenly planet, something like that. And the fire, it consumes it through the fire. But the smoke goes up also. So there's obviously some multi-dimensional things going on.
How are we to understand the description, because the Kali Yuga, which very aptly basically describes what's going on right now, written was 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, then we know we have another 427,000 years to go. And this is going to be a progression or a equation, 5,000 years or 420,000 years. This description is already, you could say it's already in the bottom. You're matching the description.
How old are you now?
44.
And how much has it gotten worse since you were a young man?
I would say 12, maybe from 5, from scale 5 to 10, as which. And it seems in a very short time it has come.
Right. So you can know that it's going to get worse. Everyone, every generation thinks, oh, it can't get worse. But it's like, for example, the cities are so full of thieves. So now there is some law and order. But when the authority breaks down, it can get unlimitedly worse. And there is still, you can get ghee, you can get grains, you can get sugar, you can get water if you can purchase it, clean water. But it can get much, much, much worse. Some 50% of the families, there's no divorce now. It can get much, much worse.
But if it happens in the same speed as it happened, just from short, my lifespan, in the end of 30 years, after 30 years, it's going to be really like that. So then the question is, what's there? And then another one, three.
People become shorter, more forgetful. Governments can break down completely and just bands of people. And no internet.
That's it.
Okay, we're already so late. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai.